The publishing world is abuzz with the news that a small press will bring out in book form J.D. Salinger's last known writing, a short story that appeared in The New Yorker on June 19, 1965. The book's exact pub date is a mystery, like so many other things connected with Salinger, so book critic Maureen Corrigan got impatient and read Salinger's story in its original New Yorker incarnation. Here are her impressions.
No other character in literature breaks a reader's heart as quickly as J.D. Salinger's Seymour Glass. Within the space of 15 pages in the 1948 short story, A Perfect Day for Banana Fish, the 31-year-old Seymour is introduced to us, wins our love, and then blows his brains out in a Miami Beach hotel room. Cynically speaking, Seymour's suicide was a stroke of genius on Salinger's part. Every time a reader finishes that story, she or he becomes transformed from a fan to a mourner, someone primed to hear anecdotes about the deceased. And that's what Salinger served up in the books that followed Banana Fish throughout the 1950s. Franny and Zooey, Raise High the Roof Beam Carpenters, and Seymour, An Introduction, flesh out our sense of the extraordinary Glass siblings. Brilliant, fast-talking New Yorkers, distinguished like Holden Caulfield by their loathing of phonies and by their obsessive talk about Seymour. He's the absent center of the family. That's why the news that the last known Glass family story had been exhumed from a 1965 issue of The New Yorker and would be published on its own this spring was so thrilling. Many of us late baby boomer Salinger fans weren't even aware that there was another Glass family tale, and the advance word was that Hapworth 16, 1924, as this novella-length story is entitled, was told in the form of a letter written by a 7-year-old Seymour from summer camp. At last, some words straight from Seymour's mouth. Or are they? Seymour's writer brother Buddy may be at work again here. Buddy was the brother closest to Seymour, and he's the narrator of all the other tales that explicitly deal with Seymour, including Banana Fish. He introduces Hapworth by telling us, twice, that he's faithfully transcribing an exact copy of Seymour's juvenile letter. Methinks he doth protest too much. Hapworth reads like an act of exorcism on Buddy's part— an unsubtle, sometimes vicious attempt to quell a spirit that he loves far too much for his own good. The pint-sized Seymour we meet in the opening paragraphs of Hapworth is a smug, creepily erudite version of the Seymour of other memories. In fact, he sounds a lot like one of those extraterrestrial children from the sci-fi classic Village of the Damned. Referring, for instance, to his fellow campers, he coldly opines that few of these magnificent, healthy, sometimes remarkably handsome boys will mature. The majority will merely senesce. But while Seymour may be dismissive of his campmates, he's a quite avid observer of the adult women at the camp. He compares the saucy bosoms displayed by the camp owner's wife to his mother's and speculates on the condition of the camp nurse's maidenhead. This is the first time that bodily lusts have intruded themselves into the Glass saga. Indeed, scholars often peg Seymour as a Christ figure, and I think Salinger may be tweaking them here by presenting Seymour's godlike qualities in absurdly broad form. Seymour foresees his own death and refers to earlier earthly appearances. I have to confess, my attention began to wander to the New Yorker ads circa 1965 on my Xeroxed copy of Hapworth long before the story ended. One of those ads was for a new comedy record by Woody Allen, which got me thinking that Hapworth reminds me a bit of Allen's Stardust Memories, the movie in which he ridicules his fans and critics. Here, by sarcastically undermining and exaggerating Seymour's trademark saintliness, Salinger spoofs his critics' responses at the expense of his beloved creation. Hapworth makes Seymour, who's a magical creature, the Glass family unicorn, into a cartoon. It's a story, finally, that will only interest scholars, the audience Salinger hates. In Seymour, An Introduction, the last book Salinger published before Hapworth, Buddy quotes a letter from Seymour in which Seymour says the two questions Buddy, as a writer, will get asked by God when he dies are, were most of your stars out? Were you busy writing your heart out? Hapworth might earn Salinger a few years in purgatory. Otherwise, I think his salvation is assured.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.